Welcome to the Saving Grace Adventist Church Sermon Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed by the Word of God.
Let us bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to you this morning. We bow before you with grateful hearts to say thank you for bringing us here to worship you and to praise your high and holy name. We invite your presence to be with us now, dear Father. As we listen to your word, we pray that we will apply the words that we are about to listen to our daily lives. Bless us now and bless us in everything that we do and say. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Let me begin by wishing our fathers, by saying Happy Father's Day to our fathers. Happy Father's Day, fathers. And as you may or may not know, the very first national celebration of Father's Day was on June 19th, 1924. And this was by proclamation of President Calvin Coolidge. But it all came about because of the efforts of a young lady by the name of Sonora Smart Dodd. Now, Sonora was sitting in church in 1909, and she was listening to a Mother's Day sermon when the idea of Father's Day first came to mind. You see, Sonora was raised by her father after her mother's death. And she wanted to let her father know how special he was to her for all the parental sacrifices and for being, in her eyes, so courageous, selfless, and loving. 25 years later, through her efforts, President Coolidge designated the third Sunday of June as Father's Day. And this nation has been celebrating ever since. They have been celebrating Father's Day ever since. Now, I must say that I'm very happy that there is a Father's Day. And I just want to commend you here at Saving Grace for acknowledging our fathers. Because, you know, a lot of our sister churches do not believe in this, in what we are doing today. As a matter of fact, I spoke to one of my sisters from a sister church, and I was asking her, what are you guys doing today for Father's Day? And she said to me, oh, we don't do that out of our church. We don't believe in celebrating Father's Day. Every day should be Father's Day. And notice she said, should be Father's Day. But unfortunately, it's not. So this, what we are doing here, is very good. And as I said, I'm very happy that we are celebrating today because it gives us the opportunity to honor those who have embraced the privilege of being a father. And to say thank you, fathers, for the way in which you lead your family through life's battles. Now, I cannot let a Father's Day go by without mentioning my father. My father, his name was Roy, and he passed away October 1st, 2012. And I must tell you, not one day goes by when I don't think about my father. In the beginning, when he died, it was horrible. You know, I couldn't, you know, imagine life without him. But, you know, as time goes by, I have learned to thank God for the impact he had on my life and the life of my brothers and sisters and the life of his grandchildren. Now, he was a man who loved the Lord. And I am happy, I'm excited, because I'm looking forward to seeing him again when Jesus comes. And I know that would be very soon, because Jesus is coming soon. Now, the father I want to draw our attention to this morning is Joseph. Joseph, the father of Jesus. According to scriptures, Jesus did not have a biological father. So naturally, we focus our attention on his heavenly father, God Almighty. Now, even though Jesus did not have a biological father, he did have an earthly father. And we do not hear too much about him. We do not hear too much about Joseph. But the fact that he is somewhat overlooked, it does not mean that we should underestimate what he has to teach us today. Joseph's story begins in heaven. And just imagine what must have been going on in heaven when God was trying to decide what man on earth would qualify to act as the earthly father of his only begotten son, Jesus Christ. God had every man alive at that time at his disposal. And if he did not find one worthy to fill the position, he could have resurrected a man. He could have resurrected someone who lived before. After all, he is God, right? But what did God do? God chose Joseph. Of all the men God had to choose from, his number one pick was Joseph. And the question is, why? Why did God choose Joseph to play the role of Jesus' earthly father? And I think we can find the answer in our scripture reading for today, which was found in Matthew chapter 1, verses 19 through 25. Matthew 1, 19 through 25. Now, as we go through our scripture reading again, we will see that there are three valuable lessons in fatherhood we can learn from Joseph today. Matthew 1:19 tells us that Joseph was a just man. And some of our translations says he was a righteous man. So lesson number one is a lesson in righteousness. Lesson in righteousness. Now, we are introduced to Joseph in the middle of a personal crisis. He was engaged to a beautiful young lady. He worked very hard to support his new bride and to begin a family. He is in love. He is committed to Mary. He believes she loves him. That is until he hears the news that his bride is pregnant. Joseph was heartbroken. He felt betrayed. How should he respond? Should he publicly shame her? Should he turn her over to the authorities to be stoned to death, as the law requires? Her explanation of the pregnancy was unbelievable, even blasphemous. If Mary hadn't been stoned on the charge of adultery, she could have been stoned on the charge of serious blasphemy. However, Joseph chooses the path of mercy. And the Bible says in Matthew 1:19, "And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly." Joseph chooses kindness and discretion. He chooses grace and mercy. Joseph was a good man. And the key to being a good father is being a good man. You cannot have one without the other. Lesson number two. Joseph teaches us a lesson in responsibility. After making plans to quietly and discreetly divorce Mary, God gave Joseph a glimpse of the divine plan through a dream. An angel appeared to Joseph in his dream and told him in Matthew 1:20 and 21, "Joseph, descendant of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because the baby in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." And verse 24 and 25 says, "When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded, and took Mary as his wife, and knew her not until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus." Joseph understood clearly what God expected of him, and he was ready to obey. He would take Mary to be his wife and suffer the cutting remarks of a child conceived prior to their wedding. He decided to obey in spite of the fact that this child would be born under the cloud of adultery. Joseph believed God, obeyed God, and he accepted the responsibility that God had given to him. And you know, I am very impressed with Joseph, because I think if I was in that position, I would ask a question, you know? I don't know if I would be that willing to obey without having my questions answered. But Joseph did not say a word. And as a matter of fact, Joseph was quiet throughout this entire experience. He did not have a voice. How much better would a world be if every father did the same thing? Sometimes we ask too many questions. We need to trust God and obey his instructions. Now, according to statistics, we are told that in the year 1960, 17% of children in the United States were raised apart from their biological father. By 1990, that number had risen to 36%. According to the U.S. Census Bureau today, 24 million children. 24 million children. That is one out of every three children in the United States live without their biological father in the home. And they have come to the conclusion that there is a father factor in almost all the social problems facing America today. Fathers have become so irresponsible in their relationship with their children. And I would like to read to you from Sister Ellen G. White's writing from the Adventist Home. There's a chapter on, and it says, Father's Position and Responsibility. The Adventist Home, page 211. And it says, the home is an institution of God. God designed that the family circle, father, mother, and children, should exist in this world as a firm. The work of making home happy does not rest upon mother alone. Fathers have an important part to act. The husband is the houseband of the home treasures, binding by his strong, earnest, devoted affection the members of the household, mothers and children, together in the strongest bond of union. His name, husband, is the true definition of husband. I saw that but few fathers realize their responsibility. Now, a man by the name of Bo Jackson, he was a former professional baseball and football player. He once said, having grown up virtually fatherless, I know firsthand how much it means to have a caring, loving, involved dad. And that is why it is so important to me to really be there for my kids. I want to build self-confidence in my children and make them aware that they have choices. I don't want my kids to follow in my footsteps, but make their own. Fathers, dads, you cannot leave the rearing and the raising of your children to the television or the daycare teacher or even mom alone. It is your responsibility also. You need to be actively involved in your children's life. You need to take responsibility, especially in the formative years. A psychologist once said that whatever you plan on teaching your children, like values and morals, it must be taught within the first 5 years. After that, it is just reinforcement. Fathers, you have an awesome responsibility. And I want to encourage you this morning to learn from Joseph's example. Put the remote control down. Get up off the couch and spend time with your children. Take responsibility. Get down on the floor and play with them when they are young. Take them to the park. And most importantly, take them to church. Teach them about Jesus. I encourage you to be like Joseph and to embrace the privilege wholeheartedly. And that brings us to the last lesson Joseph teaches us. Lesson number 3, a lesson in religion. Now, because of all the bad stuff that's happening today in the name of religion, people are looking at religion in a negative way. But we must understand that true religion is about our relationship with God and His people. True religion has to do with our relationship with God and His people. In James 1:27, James says, "Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you." After Jesus was born, Joseph took Mary and Jesus to Jerusalem to have him circumcised. And then the Bible says, after doing everything the Lord's teachings required, Joseph and Mary returned to their hometown of Nazareth in Galilee. The child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and God's favor was with him. Every year, Jesus' parents would go to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. And we can read about it in Luke 2:39-41. You see, Joseph knew the Lord, and he knew the Lord's teachings. He obeyed everything in the law of Moses to the best of his ability. Their annual pilgrimage to Jerusalem demonstrates that Joseph was dedicated to seeking God and leading his family into a deeper relationship with the Heavenly Father. Joseph was a man of religion. Austin L. Sorensen once said, "A child is not likely to find a father in God unless he finds something of God in his father." I'm going to say it again. A child is not likely to find a father in God unless he finds something of God in his father. Let that thought sink in for a bit. Think about it. Seeing God in their father is a child's best way to come to know God as their father. Fathers, the best way for your sons, for your daughters to get to know God is for them to see God in you. Fathers, you more than anyone else in this world are able to instill faith in your children. You more than anyone else are able to show them what a loving father looks like. You more than anyone can give them the ability to trust and depend on their Father in heaven. but you cannot give what you do not have. Before your children can see God in you, you have to let God into your heart, into your life, into your everything that you do. You have to seek Him to make Him top priority in your life. You have to love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. They need that from you. And fathers, please, do not forget to spend time studying the Word of God and praying with your children. When you do that, they will see and they will hear the relationship that you have with God. And they will understand what it means to have a relationship with God. Let them see Jesus in you. And you know something, something I always remember about my father is the sound of his voice praying. I always remember hearing him pleading with God on behalf of his children. And even now, you know, if I stop, I can hear him. His voice is still in my head. And this is what your children need from you, fathers. They need to hear the sound of your voice praying to your Heavenly Father. They need to have that memory of you praying so that then when they are faced with life's challenges, they will know how to pray. A preacher once asked the preschoolers in his Sunday school to draw pictures of God. His intention was to use the pictures for his sermon. Towards the end of class, the children were excited to show the pastor their work. As you can imagine, they came up with so many different drawings. Some came up with rainbows and men with big hands. Many different and interesting drawings. Finally, the preacher's daughter showed him her picture. Her picture was a man wearing a suit and tie. I don't know what God looks like, she says, so I just drew my daddy instead. The only picture she had of God was her daddy. And that's what your children need to see in you, fathers. The picture of God in you. So, what have we learned from Joseph, the father of Jesus? And even though none of his words were ever recorded in Scripture, Joseph's example teaches us some invaluable lessons in fatherhood. It teaches us a lesson in righteousness, a lesson in responsibility, and a lesson in religion. I believe that the most important reason why God chose Joseph to be the father of his precious son, Jesus Christ, is because he knew that Joseph would obey. Joseph didn't talk. he acted. He was a man of action. He listened to God and then he acted. He didn't ask any questions because he knew God. He had a relationship with God. So when the angel appeared to him, he recognized that this was the voice of God speaking to him. This was an awesome responsibility, raising the Son of God. He was given the responsibility to raise the Savior of the world. So God could not have picked a man who would just do his own thing. He could not choose a man who would undermine the plan of salvation. He chose Joseph because he was the best man for the job. Fathers, I encourage you today to be like Joseph. God has chosen you to raise his precious sons and daughters. It is an awesome responsibility, but he chose you. You are his number one pick for the job. There is no one else in the world qualified for the job of raising your children but you. So, to all the righteous, responsible, and religious fathers here today, on behalf of your children, wives, mothers, your church, we thank you. Thank you for showing us what it means to be a loving father. Thank you for showing us what it means to be a good man. Thank you for always being there when we need you. Thank you for loving God and for making us want to do the same. Today, we celebrate you for your hard work, your love, and the way in which you inspire us. Fathers like you make a difference every day, and this is why we are thanking God for you today. So, whether you are a father or not, whether you had a loving father growing up or not, you need to know that you have a Father in heaven who loves you dearly. He wants nothing more than for you to be a part of his eternal family. So, fathers, today I want to say may God bless you today and always. And before we close, I want to invite all the fathers, men as a matter of fact, young men, older men, fathers, could you please come forward? Because I would like to offer a word of prayer to our Heavenly Father on your behalf. Amen, amen. Strong men. That's very important in our lives, right, ladies? Amen, amen. Amen. Thank you for coming forward. You all look so strong and great this morning. Thank you. Okay, let us bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to you this morning for the time that we have spent with you. We thank you for the message that you have given to us this morning about Joseph, the earthly father of your son, Jesus Christ. Father, as we look at the life of Joseph, there are so many things that we can learn from him. And now, dear Father, I present your sons standing before your throne this morning. And I ask that you will have mercy upon them. I ask a very special blessing upon their behalf. Father, you know each and every one of them personally. You know their wants. You know their needs. You know their desire. And we know, dear Father, that their heartfelt desire is to serve you and to represent you before their family. We pray, dear Father, that you will lift them up, that you will bless their efforts, that you will make them strong and help them, dear God, to stand firm in everything that they do, that others, mostly their children, would see Jesus in you. Bless them, dear Father, their physical body. If there is anyone here this morning, dear Father, or fathers, who is suffering from some kind of illness, some kind of disease, we present them before you. We pray, dear God, that you will touch them with your mighty healing hands. We pray, dear God, that you will make them strong. Take away everything that is unlike you from their hearts, from their lives, from their body. And bless them, dear Father, as they continue to walk in the path that you have prepared for them. Father, we pray most of all that you will make them holy. Because in being holy, they would be like you. Thank you, dear God, once again for them. And we thank you for what they have done in our lives. And we pray that your continued blessing would be upon them from this day forward. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Thank you.